John chapter number 5. John chapter number 5, and we'll start in verse number 1. If you have your Bible, say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, you brought your Bibles to church. That's a blessing. Let's pray, and we'll get right into the message this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much, Lord, for this song service that we just had. Lord, the birthdays, the anniversaries. Lord, what a joy it is to see a marriage that made it 20 years. Lord, that's so uncommon here. Lord, thank you so much for keeping that dear family together. Lord, I pray, God, you keep all our families together. And Lord, help us thrive. And Lord, not just pump to survive, but thrive in victory in your name. Lord, as families of a holy God. Lord, I ask you now today, Lord, as we are here and Lord, we are thankful for a lot of things today. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, for everything that you've done, Lord, for me and for my house, and Lord, for our church and our community. And Lord, I'm thankful for, Lord, today, as we know it's Veterans Day this weekend, I'm thankful for the men and women, Lord, who have served our country and have fought and died. And Lord, many lost their lives for what they believe in. Lord, may that be our goal, Lord, to be willing to lose our lives for what we believe in spiritually. And Lord, I just ask you now in the name of Jesus, bind the devil off this place today. Lord, give me words and wisdom to say. Lord, cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, fill me with your spirit. Lord, allow me to preach with clarity your word. And Lord, may you speak to the hearts and minds of your people. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. It being Veterans Day, I almost forgot. I'll be honest, I should not have, but I did almost forget. Welcome in, teenagers. Praise the Lord. Come on in. If you served our country, would you please just stand? If you were in our nation's military, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. In any branch, there we go, praise the Lord. Now, we're going to ask you who you are and when you served. Brother Jack, go ahead, start with you, brother.
1976, Air Force.
Amen.
2010, 2015,
Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Randy.
Air Force, 1981 to 2002.
Praise the Lord. Brother Perry.
United States Navy, 1972 to 1976.
Amen. Brother Junior. 1957. Listen, let's give these men a great big hand. It is a blessing to live in a country where we know our real history is that men and women fought and died and literally gave their lives so that we could be free. And I'm so thankful for that. And the title of this message today is I'm Thankful for That Man. And you'll see where the title came from here pretty quick. But again, thank you to our nation's military. If you are actively serving, I very much appreciate you. Listen, I'm a patriot like none other. I love America. And you want to tick me off, talk about my country. I love this country. I love the land that God gave us. I love the fact that we are supposed to be one nation under God, living in a free country. Amen. I like the right to vote. I like the right to bear arms. Amen. I like the rights that we have because of men and women, and ultimately because of a holy God who gave us those rights. Amen. And I'm thankful for that. God bless America. Amen. How many are thankful you live in America? Say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Give our country a great big hand. That's good. Praise the Lord. You should be thankful. There should never be a day that goes by where you're not thankful that God has indeed blessed America. John chapter number 5, the title of this message today is I'm Thankful for That Man. You say, what man? Well, let's read a little bit. We'll start in verse number 1. John chapter 5 says, after this there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. And these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, not important, okay? It sounds like, you know, a Cajun slang, impotent. No, no, no. Sick people. People that aren't good. Of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. Boy, aren't you thankful for the moving of the water? I know I am. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Sounds an awful lot like the stirring of the Holy Ghost, don't it? Pretty neat how your Bible comes together. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made what, church? Now notice this next verse. The impotent man answered him, Sir, what are those next four words? I have no man. Now you see where I got my title from. I'm thankful for that man. I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I was coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and what, church? And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him, Now pay attention how these Jews acted to something good that Jesus had just done. That was cured. It was the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. Now listen, he was the Savior. Amen? He could pretty much do whatever he wanted. Amen? He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? They're curious. See, they want to know who this was so they can go, you know, contradict what Jesus had just done. And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. Now that'd be enough for me to want to live right, amen? If I had just been healed after 38 years of sickness, and Jesus said, Sin no more, lest a worse... I mean, the same man that just healed me, told me, Take up my bed and walk, said, Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee, I'd be trying everything in my power to sin no more. Amen? Verse 15 says this, The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. Now look, when Jesus does something for you, you ought to want to tell people. Amen? He knew the dangers of telling these people. But I think he also understood something. I think he understood that Jesus was God in the flesh and that he could take care of himself. Amen? I really believe that. The man had just been healed after 38 years of sickness by just a short sentence. Take up thy bed and walk. Man didn't question it. But this morning I want to preach on, I'm thankful for that man. That man is Jesus. I'm thankful for that man. So if you look back in verse number 2, we see a pool with five porches. These porches were covered resting places or pavilions around the pool. I did some reading from old times back in the day, and I wanted to study, you know, what these pools were and the porches and what they were all about. The pool of Bethesda, as a symbol, carries a deep spiritual meaning. It symbolizes humankind's need for healing, restoration, and an encounter with God. How many would say that you remember a day where you realized you needed healing, restoration, and an encounter from God? And in the Holy Ghost, just like the moving of the water we see here in verse 4, the Holy Ghost came down and stirred your heart up, and you had a decision to make. When the Holy Ghost stirred your heart, you realized at that moment, I'm wicked, I'm lost, I'm evil, I'm going to go to hell without Jesus Christ. The Holy Ghost is convicting me, and now I have a choice to make. I remember that day. I remember that encounter with the Holy Ghost. The stirring of the waters, as mentioned in the story, may represent divine intervention and God's timing. And get this, you'll never get saved on your timing. Everybody okay? It's not about, I'll get saved tomorrow or I'll get saved. You don't know if you'll get saved today. Now, the Bible does say today is a day of salvation, this day. But here's the reality. Until the Holy Ghost of God convicts you, you'll not get saved. Because He's the only one, and the only one that has ever been able to, and the only one that will ever be able to convict a sinner unto salvation. Amen? The only one. So it's not your choice. Oh, I know I'm thankful for the day when I was lost and in need of a Savior. And just like this man, I was there waiting for someone, but no one could help. But I'm so thankful for that man, Jesus Christ, who came by my way. The day I got saved was the best day of my life. Just like the picture here, this man was waiting for his water to be stirred. It took the moving of the Holy Ghost of God in our life for us to get stirred up and convicted unto salvation. Here at these porches, there were all kind of sick people. Just like everywhere we go, there are sick people all around us, physically sick. But we must never forget the fact that all around us are spiritually sick people. There are spiritually sick people everywhere we go. We have porches all around us. We have churches. We have workplaces. We have ball games. We have bleachers. We have, doctor's office. Everywhere you go, there's spiritually sick people. And they're just waiting for a stirring of the Holy Ghost of God. And then they get to make a decision to reject Christ, which will be the worst decision of your life. If you're in here today and God has stirred on you and God has convicted you and told you your need of a Savior, and without that Savior, you'll die and spend eternity in an everlasting lake of fire where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Hey, preacher, you preach on this a lot. Yeah, because it's real and it's coming soon and you don't get to choose when. And if God has stirred you up and you've said, no, God, not today. Hey, listen, if His Holy Ghost is convicting you today, this might be the last time that that spoon touches the water of your heart and stirs you up. He may never convict you again, but you'll not die without excuse. If He's speaking to you today, if He's stirring on your heart today, why not get saved today? Verse number 4, I'm glad we serve a whosoever God that has the ability to heal us of whatsoever may be our problem, aren't you? Aren't you thankful God don't look down and pick and choose? I'm thankful He looks down, and I'm thankful from the beginning of time that he predestinated that we should all become the sons of God. We all had the opportunity to be saved. We all will have the opportunity to be saved. Now, unfortunately, God did not force salvation on anyone. He offered His Son, Jesus Christ, as a sacrifice for the sin of the world. And He said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the God we serve. But He doesn't make us, but He offers it to all. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We see that in John 3:16. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what, church? Saved, Romans 10:13. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die, John 11:26. Whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins, Acts 10:43. Hey, we serve a whosoever God. Everybody has an opportunity. Man, woman, boy and girl, please don't sit here today foolishly and make a decision to reject Christ any longer. If He's convicting and tugging at your heart today, hey, why not get saved today? You say, when will this feeling ever go away? When you obey the calling of the Holy Ghost of God to get saved. You'll not have to stand in an invitation. I remember doing this, standing and making sure I never sat on the edges of the seats, because I knew that'd be real easy to get up and go. I put myself in the middle, and when that invitation played, I'm sitting there thinking about the Sunday school teachers who says, hey, Drew, it's been a year and a half since you told us you were lost and you still aren't saved. And I remember the piano would begin to play and my hands would do this right here and they would tremble and I wouldn't even look at the preacher. And it wasn't the preacher that could save me. It was my lack of faith by stepping out and saying yes to a God. I remember dreading the invitation. I remember dreading it, because when is this feeling ever going to end? You know when it ended? June 15th, 1999 is when it ended. When I finally, sitting on a Friday afternoon at VBS, the Lord was working on me after 2 years. June 15th, 2000, I'm sorry, not 1999. I was 9 years old, not 8 years old. June 15th, 2000, the preacher that Friday, he gave an invitation, and I stayed. I raised my hand, and I stayed. I couldn't take it anymore. And he looked at me, and he said, son, you realize that for 2.5 years you've been telling us you're lost. I said, I know, preacher. He said, are you finally ready to get saved? He said, I can't save you, but I can sure show you who can. I said, I'm ready. He took me back to his office. He opened that Bible. That King James Bible. Amen. He opened it up and he showed me that I was just a sinner in need of a Savior. He showed me that without Christ I was destined for a devil's hell. He showed me that for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He showed me that He sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He showed me that with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. He showed me that with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. He showed me that for all have sinned and come short. He showed me that the wages of sin is death, that the gift of God is eternal life. He showed me that I can know that I have eternal life. And at the end of all that, I asked the Lord to save me. And by faith, I believed He did, and I've been saved ever since. What's your story? You know what I'm thankful for today? That man Jesus. I'm thankful for that man Jesus. I'm so glad that God does not leave us sitting in a place of maybe so restoration, aren't you? I'm glad that we can come humbly and boldly before the throne of grace and bow our knees before a convicting God and a loving God who was not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I'm glad that we can humbly say that we have met that man. Hey, if you've met that man today, say amen. Be glad you've met that man. And if you have not met that man today, maybe the Holy Ghost of God wants to introduce Himself to you today. Hey, open your heart up and receive the gift of God, eternal life. Verse number 5. We see this man had an infirmity for 38 years. I can tell you this, I'm 34 years old and at the age of 9 I got saved. At the age of 7 I realized that I was lost and going to hell. At that very hour, I received an infirmity of a hell-bound, hell-deserving sinner. I had an appointment with death. And I still have an appointment with death, unless the rapture happens. And at that moment, I had an appointment with hell. I was sin sick. Y'all with me? Preacher, you were only 7. Yeah, I was sin sick. Ask my grandma. Some of them laugh and they know. Sin sick. I had an appointment with an eternal lake of fire. But that man, he convicted and convicted, sent the Holy Ghost of God to convict. I was sin sick, and I chose for 2 years to reject Jesus Christ. I did not know how many more times I would have my opportunity on the porch of restoration. Imagine sitting on that porch for all those years. And every time the water was moved, someone beat you to it. Now, I know we're not talking about spiritual salvation there. But you know what it took? The same thing it's going to take for you, Jesus. He didn't have to go get in that pool, did he? That man came by. Hey, Jesus will come by your way too. He came by my way. He'll visit you. I didn't know how many more times I'd have an opportunity on that porch of restoration. I was not promised another day, but I'm so thankful that the Holy Ghost moved the waters in my life and chose to convict me once again and showed me my need for Him. I'm thankful God didn't give up on me. Hey, if I'd have died between ages 7 and 9, God would have been a just God. He would have been a fair God. He gave me opportunity after opportunity. And look, I didn't miss church. Didn't have that issue. That wasn't optional. So, 52 times a year for 2 years times 3 services a week, I had some opportunities. Y'all hear me? Bunch of them. More than I deserved. I'm thankful for that man. Verse number 6. I love our Savior's awareness here. Did you know that Jesus Christ is aware of what we got going on in our life? God is not surprised by anything. And a matter of fact, He cares more about your problem than you do. Doesn't that mean something to you? God cares more about your problem than you care about your problem. He looks down and He sees His hurting sons and daughters. How do you feel when one of your sons and daughters hurt? You probably feel worse than they do because there's not much you can do sometimes, right? God can do anything He wants to, but He doesn't force Himself. Amen? He doesn't. But I love our Savior's awareness. Jesus saw him there in his state and realized he needed some help. He asked him a simple question, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Hey, you know what Jesus asked you when he stirs the water of your heart? Wilt thou be made whole? Will you choose Jesus? Will you choose heaven? Will you choose salvation by grace through faith? Wilt thou be made whole? Can I say today, if you're here and you're lost, Jesus sees your situation and is asking you the same question. All you have to do is answer the Holy Ghost of God. That's all you have to do. Verse number 7. Here's my favorite part of the story. The man's reply to Jesus. He said, "I have no man." I could just picture Jesus at this time in his heart, realizing that this man had come to the end of himself. You know what Jesus longs for? For us as believers. And we'll talk about the lost people in a minute. But you know what Jesus longs for us as believers? For us to realize that in and of ourselves we're nothing. Amen? We're just flesh. This flesh is going to die. It's going to be put in a box. Some of you might get burnt up. Spread your ashes somewhere. Whatever you decide. But in reality, this flesh is carnal. Am I right? It's carnal. But when we come to realize this, I'm nothing. And Jesus, you're everything. And without you, I can do nothing. But with God, all things are possible. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Wouldn't it be good if we as Christians got to that place in our life? What can we do without Christ? Nothing. Plenty of carnal things. I could picture the Savior realizing that this man had just come to the end of himself and realized that no man was going to help him. You know why no man helped him? Because just like today, we worry about ourselves more than we worry about others. Amen? That's just nature. We're looking out for number one. And who's number one? The man in the mirror. Right? I mean, 38 years this man sat here. You're not going to tell me that there weren't Jews that walked by day after day after day after day after day after day after day. Year after year, generations of people died while this man had an infirmity, and no one helped him. Why? Because it's all about me. Amen? Hey, you know that song? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Folks, all this stuff down here is going to burn up. Back in Noah's day, it all went underwater and got destroyed, didn't it? Well, listen. If all you're worried about is something that's going to get burnt up and ain't no fire department going to be able to help out, because this is going to be fire from heaven. God is going to destroy our homes, our cars, our banks, our grocery stores, our fields, our farms. Everything we got is going to be burnt up. What if that started tomorrow? You know what you'd still have if you're saved? You'd still have Jesus. You'd still have that man. Why? Because He promised He'd never leave us nor forsake us. Aren't you glad? Just like you and I, this man's faith immediately made him whole. You know why you got saved? Because you believed by faith. Not a single one of us in here have ever seen Jesus. I haven't. You haven't either. But you believed, if you're saved. Believe on the name of the Son of God. Thou shalt be saved. There was no working to earn anything. When he accepted what Jesus offered, he was immediately made whole. Hey, you know what? That puts an end to working for salvation. Amen? Don't ever think that you're going to work your way there. I know I say it all the time, but folks, I hear it all the time. From people that should know better about salvation, working your way to hell is all you're going to work for. You'll never be good enough for heaven, but without Christ. If you have Jesus Christ, look, it's like the song goes, when he sees me, he sees the blood of the Lamb. He sees me as worthy and not as I am. He views me in garments as white as the snow. For the Lamb of God is worthy and he loves me. This I know. Why? Because when he sees me, he doesn't see me. He sees the man. Do you have the man? I wonder if you're thankful for the man. But look at verse 6. That old devil can't keep his hands out of anything. From the beginning, the devil has fought against our Savior. From wanting to be like him in heaven to being kicked out of heaven for eternity, and a third of the angels followed the devil. And to this day, even back in the Bible day, when Jesus done something good, listen, you remember when Brother Suter said it, good and evil often arrive at the same time, don't they? But guess what? Greater is he that is within me than he that is in the what? So here's something marvelous that had just happened. This man had just been healed. Then we see the devil step in verse number 10. Let's read it. Verse number 10 says this, the Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. Folks, listen. Instead of saying, sir, aren't you that guy who's been here for 38 years? What on earth happened? Instead of being happy, they were like, do you know what day it is? Now, I know you've been here for 38 years, but, you know, this is ridiculous. It ain't lawful for you to be carrying your bed today. It's kind of funny, ain't it? You know what it is? It's ignorant. It's silly. The Jews are here persecuting this man. Really and truly, their goal is to persecute Christ. And we know that that's why Jesus came, amen, to die ultimately. But why couldn't they rejoice? You know what our Bible teaches us? When something good happens to a brother, we should rejoice with them. When something sad happens to someone, we should cry with them. We shouldn't worry about what the good that Jesus is doing to somebody else. Hey, be thankful that Jesus did something good. Just like any time God does something good, instead of rejoicing that this man was made whole, these people were more worried about when the healing took place. I think we can learn a great lesson from this. We look around and see that God has been good to us. Say amen if God's been good to you. Amen. God has been so good to our families. God has been so good to our church. God has been so good to our country. God has been so good to us as individuals. Folks, we wouldn't be here today if God wasn't good. There are people who wish they could be in church today, but they cannot physically be here. But God's still been good to them. Amen? Somehow, we as people of little faith, you know, Jesus, when he was preaching to the Sadducees and Pharisees, he said, oh, faithless and perverse generation. I wonder if Jesus were to walk in that door back there and we were all to hit our knees, because that's exactly what we'd do. Amen? But once he said, hey, have a seat, and he stood here and was preaching a message to us, what would his message be to you as an individual? Would it be, hey, I've done a lot for you, and you show your gratitude because you're thankful for me? Or would it be just the opposite? I've done a lot for you. But we're finding ways. Listen, folks, listen. Bind the devil in every thought you have. Whatsoever is bound on earth shall be bound where? In heaven. The devil is always going to try to get his foot in where Jesus Christ is working. Why? Because he is 100% not okay with what Jesus Christ is doing. He does not want to see another soul saved. Amen? He does not want to see other churches planted. He does not want to see the gospel leave the walls of this church. He wants it to stay right here. Why don't we learn to start rejoicing with other people when something good happens to them? Not worry about what didn't happen for us. Hey, learn to be thankful. And then maybe good things will happen. Amen? Learn to be thankful. We should focus more on what Jesus Christ has done and not the negative things. The Bible teaches to think on these things, the good things of life. I'm not looking forward to standing before the Lord and answering for all the times I allowed the devil to use me in a negative way to hurt someone. You say, you did that? Yeah. And if we'd all be honest, we'd all say, yeah, we've done it. Folks, look, we belong to Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Why is it that oftentimes we as tools of Jesus get put in the devil's toolbox? By the way, it ain't on accident. Everybody all right? It's on purpose. The Bible teaches that Satan, you know, our adversary is as a roaring lion, seeking whom he what? May devour. Be sober, be vigilant. Because why? Because you have an adversary. Who is it? Mom and dad? Preacher? Other church members? No. Our adversary is the devil. And guess how often he works? 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Say, when's he going to stop working? When Jesus Christ comes back. Or in your life, when you die. There's got to be something in your life that you can find to say thank you for. In verse 11 and 12, the people asking questions as if they're actually interested in what took place, but really they were simply building a case against the Savior. Imagine building a case against a sinless human being. Someone who had did nothing but good his entire time on planet Earth. 33 and a half years. No one could find fault in him. When he stood before Herod, what did Herod say? I can't find any fault. What do you want me to do? What do you want me to accuse him of? Jesus was innocent. Without sin. But oh, he took our sins upon him. It saddens me that all over our country and all over our world right now, good men and women are being persecuted for doing what is right. I told you the story about Brother Trowell in Iraq, murdered for preaching the gospel in front of his wife and daughter. Murdered. Here's something better. Take this, devil. That wife and kids are still ministering to those people that killed her. Hey, you know what they're saying? We're thankful that he got to die a martyr. They could be bitter. Most of us, I don't know how I would react in the situation. I like to know what I think I would do. But if we're standing in a place and someone murders our husband or our wife or our child, the flesh is going to say, hate them. But you know what the Bible says? Do good to those who despitefully use you. Do good to those who despitefully use you. You know what the Bible says? A soft answer turneth away what? Wrath. Folks, we need to start living in a spiritual mind versus a carnal, fleshly mind. So what do I do when the persecution comes? And let me tell you something. If you're not being persecuted and you're not being made fun of or it's not tough, hey, dig in a little bit deeper. Because Jesus was persecuted. And if we're doing our job, we're going to be persecuted. People are going to talk. Let them talk. Dig in deeper. What do I do when that happens? Well, let me show you what my favorite verse is right now. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. We sang it this morning. This is a verse that God has just thrown in my lap. The Bible says this. One, start in verse number 7. Let's back up to verse 7. The Bible says this. Be not deceived. God is not what, church? For whatsoever a man soweth, what? That shall he also reap. You know what that is? That's a promise from God to the sower and the reaper. Here's the thing. You worry about what you're going to be sowing. And for those that are you feel are wrongdoing, you know what the Bible teaches? Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay them. Hello? Kill them with kindness. Do good to them. And understand, they will reap what they sow. But if you react in an ungodly manner, you will reap what you sow. I will reap what I sow, and we'll deserve every bit of it. Here's the deal in verse number 8 says, for he that soweth to this flesh shall of the flesh reap what? Corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. What sounds better to reap? Corruption of the flesh or life everlasting? And then verse number 9, here it is, my favorite verse right now. What do I do when persecution comes? Hey, and let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season ye shall reap if ye faint not. What do I do when persecution comes? Don't get weary. Don't get weary. Don't get weary. Don't put your head down. Don't be a quitter. Quitters never win, right? Quitters never win. If I faint not, if I faint not, if I faint not. But you know what the devil's trying to say? You're weary. You're tired. Get out of the fight. Throw the towel in. It ain't worth it. Hey, it is worth it. For just one more soul, it's worth it. It's worth it. Christian, we must learn to press on and not faint when things get tough. Miss Barb, can you come to the piano? Listen, we're done. The devil will work until Jesus comes back. But know this, the devil's destination has already been written in the book. I like that old saying, I've read the back of the book, and guess what? We win if we're on the Christian, if we're on Jesus' team. Heads bowed, eyes closed this morning. The piano's going to start to play. Listen, I wonder this morning, has there ever been a day where you can say, preacher, I'm thankful for that man. Would you just raise your hand and say, preacher, that's me. I'm thankful for that man. Hey, listen. No one looking around this morning. Listen, if you can't say, preacher, that's me. I'm thankful for that man. I wonder if you just admit right now with an uplifting of your hand. Listen, I'll not call you out. I'll never embarrass you. I promise. But I want to ask you an all-important question. Preacher, I don't know that man you're talking about, Jesus. I have no idea who he is. But I would like for someone to take a Bible and show me how I could know that man. Would you just raise your hand and say, that's me, preacher. I'm lost. I know I'm lost. And without Jesus Christ, I'm going to die and I'm going to go to hell.